There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And we're finally back on a winning football podcast. And I could not be more excited to talk about IU football this week after a lot of weeks of doom and gloom, hot seat talk and all those things. Indiana knocked off Wisconsin 20-14 on Saturday at Memorial Stadium to keep bowl hopes and that playoff mindset alive. It was probably the best all-around game that IU played. That doesn't mean that they were great in every phase of the game, but all around it was probably the best brand of football IU has played in a long time, and hopefully this is the launching pad to a run here in the last quarter of the season that, you know, has postseason dreams. But how are you doing, TJ?
Yeah, doing well. Certainly pleasant to discuss an IU Big Ten win. It's been a rarity the past year and a half, or 2.5 years, really. So it's never something you can take for granted at all. Beating Wisconsin is not an easy thing to do. Diving into that game, I think you can look at it one of two ways, and I think both ways are probably correct. You know, the optimist would say, look at that. You put it together. You managed to come out on top, found a way to win, you know, had a really good defensive effort. Offense had a solid, really good first quarter and played a good first half. And then, you know, I guess you could say did enough, even though they did basically nothing in the second half. But, you know, came out on top. And then the pessimist could say, yeah, Wisconsin was without their best player in Braylon Allen. They were without Tanner Mordecai at quarterback. Wisconsin outgained Indiana. IU had 1.8 yards rushing on 41 rushing attempts, which is awful. So you could look at it kind of both ways, and I think both ways would be correct, I suppose. What you're left with is that I felt like Indiana's defense did a really good job against Wisconsin, gave up one big play, and that was a play that IU looked confused before the snap on defense, should have called timeout, did not, and as a result gave up, you know, a slant pass that goes, I think it was 54 yards for a touchdown. Yeah. Dephart, take that play away and IU's defense was outstanding. Got consistent pressure on Braden Locke. I thought tackled pretty well against a physical Wisconsin running game. Held Wisconsin to 3.6 yards per rush. They ran it 28 times to get that. That's a really good number. I thought Indiana's linebackers, particularly Aaron Casey, again, were outstanding. Well-deserved recognition for Aaron Casey this week. So, and you know, props to the secondary for making some plays. Jordan Shaw got
nine
the start
pass
and looked really good. Phillip Dunham made a play. You know, I think that it was encouraging growth from some young guys in the secondary that, again, outside of that one play, which I don't think was necessarily the secondary's fault. There was confusion all around on the defense on that play. Outside of that, just a great, great day for the defense. Offensively, I think that there's a lot of concern of how the offensive line performed in the second half without Khalil Benson. He left, was in street clothes for the second half of that game, so definitely was not able to go back in. It was not precautionary or anything like that. It was a, you know, legitimate injury. We don't know his status, but the second half offense was basically, you know, hold on and try to get out of this game with the win.
Yeah.
Is really what it looked like. And I felt it was conservative seems like the wrong word. It was really an offense that was hoping the clock would run faster and you could get out of there with the win.
I mean, when you have
Wisconsin caught up,
you tried to do some gadget plays with Jalen Lucas and they get knocked for a loss. And when you're ahead and you're behind the chains like that, you're not going to get overly aggressive, especially with, you know, as bad as IU's line looked in the second half, Wisconsin made a great adjustment on defense, started bringing a lot of pressure, knowing that Sales was in there and struggling, and things like that. But it's, they did just enough in the second half. They had, I mean, they almost did nothing, literally nothing, 36 yards, you know, minus 9 yards rushing in that, in the second half, after putting together 225 yards, 84 rushing yards. And I hate that the college uses sacks as rushing yards, because it's not a rush, it's a pass, and you get tackled trying to pass. But so some good things on offense. You had Donovan McCulley is really starting to turn into a nice go-to receiver for IU. I thought they ran the ball well in the first half against Wisconsin, where you got 3-4 yards on first down and moved the ball well. And yeah, there are a couple moments where you go, oh, they fumble, like on the mesh point to Josh Henderson and on the option play, which a better pitch ends the game right there with the first down. Yep. But, you know, EJ Williams is coming into his own. He had 4 catches for 48 yards, showed why he's a former 5-star recruit, can bully people, draw pass interference calls. And then, you know, defensively, you can't say enough about Aaron Casey, like you said. And then, you know, you created havoc plays. IU recovered their first two fumble recoveries of the year. You had 9 pass breakups. None of them went for interceptions, although a couple of them could have. I thought Jordan Shaw's pass breakup at the near the end of the game in the fourth quarter, I don't know if he touched it or not. It went right through his hands, and it looked like he didn't touch it. But that could have been a pick and probably a pick six. You know, like you said, Phillip Dunham made 2 big plays. And then you had a couple defensive linemen get their hands up. Linnell Carr, Andre Carter. I thought Marcus Burris got one in there too. I guess they credited it to Carter. And then it was nice to see Joshua Rudolph play well. You know, 4 tackles, tackle for loss. Yeah. Matt Holt had 2 tackles. You're starting to build that depth. And I think, you know, this is the optimist. This was a very new team together. And, you know, I heard all these basketball fans saying you need time to gel and all that stuff. Well, maybe this team needed some time to gel on defense. And, you know, you look at what Rutgers did against Ohio State. Rutgers might be actually pretty good. Not on offense, but the defense might be pretty good. You know, Sorsby, 19 to 31, took care of the ball, ran the ball when needed. Very well. And then, you know, the defense over 3 on 4th downs. But it all sets up a what could be a fun 3 games, but you got to win the next one to make the next one count, and then the next one count. Indiana plays Illinois coming up. Illinois knocked off Minnesota in a wild, wacky game, 27-26. To move to 4-5 overall. It's, you know, you start to look at the West, TJ, and this is the last year of divisions, but that Big Ten West took it on the chin on Saturday. You had Nebraska go down to Michigan State. Minnesota, who is tied for first in the Big Ten West, lost a game they really should have won against Illinois. And then you had, you know, the whatever fiasco at Wrigley Field with Iowa and Northwestern. That was 10-7, and Iowa sitting there as a two-loss team atop of the West. But what's your initial impressions on Illinois?
Well, on defense, it really starts and ends with Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle for the Illini, really makes their defense tick. He did not play in the first half of the Minnesota game due to a ejection at the end of the Wisconsin game, so he had to sit out the first half of their game against Minnesota. And it made a major, major difference when he was able to go back into the game. Minnesota really didn't do anything in the second half after establishing a lead. He's just a force in the middle of that defensive line, tackles for loss. He leads the team in sacks, makes everybody around him better. And his pressure that he can apply into the opposing backfield breaks up running plays and pressure in the middle of the pocket on a quarterback helps that Illinois secondary, which is definitely in a rebuilding phase. If you can figure out a way to effectively limit Newton's ability to get into the backfield, you're set up pretty well to have success against Illinois. If he's able to be a game wrecker, then you know you're going to be in trouble, and that leaves, you know, the questions about the availability of Khalil Benson as a major point for this game.
Yeah, and Benson won't go against Johnny Newton. Everybody calls him, right, Johnny Newton. So when you're watching the game and you go, where's this Newton guy? It's Johnny Newton. The issue is who do you replace Benson with? Matt Bedford kick out? But you want, since Newton plays that defensive tackle position, it's going to be on the interior line, you know, to take care of them. Minnesota had to double team, which let outside guys get better rushes, looks, easier blocks to overcome to get to the quarterback. Looking at Minnesota's second half stats, in the first half, 191 total yards, second half 69. They ran for 61 yards, so not great in the first half, ran for 32 in the second half. And just, you know, couldn't get anything going. 0 for 7 on third downs. They gave up 2 sacks in the second half, and a lot of that was because of Newton. But if Indiana can figure out maybe Zach Carpenter and Matt Bedford neutralized Newton, the hope is you could use one guy to neutralize him, but he is so good at that defensive tackle position. And you have Keith Randolph, who has been banged up and hasn't been 100%. And Brett Bielema said that they're kind of going to back off of him in practice this week. Those two guys can wreck the game for Illinois that way as well. But for Indiana, it's, if you play how you played the last 2 weeks, and especially against Wisconsin when you didn't muff a punt. And I know that it's kind of laughable thinking that that's progress, that you caught your punts. Well, Indiana did. They didn't turn the ball over. They went 1 for 1 on fourth down. They won the special teams battle. You missed one field goal that was super close to being, yep, good, but they made all those plays that you need to win a game, and they won it. You never want to call an IU football game comfortably, but they led that game essentially wire to wire, and Wisconsin didn't tie it or take the lead. So in the IU football world, that's a pretty comfortable lead.
Right.
So,
offensively for Illinois, Luke Altmaier, Brett Bielema said he would be involved in the game in some aspect. I think he's probably going to start. I think if he's able to play, then I don't see why he would not start. Now, they were saved by John Paddock, Ball State transfer that came in, made three completions
that
then set up and set up the game winner, including which was a pass to Isaiah Williams to win that game for them. They led, then Minnesota took the lead, and then Illinois took it back with the late drive as John Paddock comes in, makes the play. Now, look, is John Paddock better than Luke Altmyer? No. If he was, he would have played prior to that. Altmyer, he's fine, but he's going to make some mistakes. He turns it over. 10 interceptions for Luke Altmyer, and Illinois does not throw a ton. So that's a fairly large number for Luke Altmyer on the season. He will absolutely make mistakes. Running, you know, they would prefer, as you know, Brett Bielema would prefer to just smash the ball, but they can't do that. Their offensive line is not very good this year. It's a weakness for them. Reggie Love is their preferred tailback. He's getting more involved. We'll see if he's able to give it a go. They have moved Caden Fagan in to that kind of bell cow role. And he looks like a pretty good future player for Illinois. He's already good right now. He's a big back. Moves fairly well for his size, but is more of a physical brute. Can get involved in the passing game. He had a long receiving touchdown against Minnesota.
Yep, he's 148 total yards
per carry. So, yeah, he's averaging 4.7 per carry and really coming into his own. So even if Reggie Love does play, you're going to see Caden Fagan a lot. And IU's going to have to tackle him. And it could take, you know, a bit of a team effort. Again, speed, not his thing. It's not that he's slow, but he's not a burner. He's a big physical back. Receiving, they really lean on Isaiah Williams. He's definitely the go-to target for them. Yep. Pat Bryant and Casey Washington are kind of two and three, but they are a distant two and three. Yeah, Isaiah Williams is definitely the go-to guy.
Yeah, Illinois threw 34 passes last week. 17 of those targets went to Isaiah Williams, and I'm not a math teacher, but that's 50%. Right there. Yeah. He had 13 catches for 131 yards, two touchdowns. He's also the Big Ten's leading punt returner as well. That's something to look out for. You know, Indiana did give up a long punt return last week with broken tackles.
Yep.
That's going to be important to get James Evans to not outkick the coverage too much and pin Illinois deep. And then again, I go back to last year. That's a game Illinois felt that they should have won. They thought that the refs screwed them out of a touchdown by Pat Bryant, which is debatable at best. But, you know, that was an Illinois team that won eight games, and Indiana knocked them off in the opener. But, yeah, it's if you shut down Isaiah Williams, this offense really hasn't done much after that. And looking at the Luke Altmyer, he got hurt. On that final drive on it was a sack fumble that Illinois recovered. That's how close they were to losing. I'm not a medical guy, you know, a doctor or anything like that. He got hit pretty hard, hit his head on the turf pretty hard. Brett Bielema said he in his Monday press conference that he would be involved in the game, but that's not saying he's healthy and all that stuff. So that's another thing to look out for heading into the game is who's going to start. And then, you know, give credit to John Paddock, but I don't understand how Isaiah Williams gets behind the Minnesota defense for a 46 yard touchdown pass down the seam, you know, right in the middle of two safeties. So let's go to a matchup to watch, TJ. I have a feeling yours is going to be in the trenches.
Well, one key statistic to point out here, Illinois really bad on third down, 107th in the country at just 44% converted. That puts them down there with terrible teams like Purdue. See what I did there. Get a jab in on the Boilermakers. But Illinois just slightly ahead of the Boilermakers. But again, the point stands, not good at all on third down. And in their last three games, even worse, they are 40% flat, which would have them at the ranking at the bottom of the country. Now, that is opponent third down conversion. So on defense, opponent third down conversion. So, the strength for Illinois, they would tell you, is probably, that defensive line. But even so, they are giving up, one of the highest opponent percentage conversion rates on third down. So that's going to be a key for Indiana, is to, one, maintain possession, which they did really well against Wisconsin in the first half, dominated time of possession, to be able to do that again, play at the pace and the tempo that IU wants to play at, which is going to be a bit more of a grind it out mentality, manage the clock, and keep the ball in your possession, converting on those third downs, taking advantage of that Illinois weakness is going to be a key for the Hoosiers. But yeah, the matchup to watch is definitely going to be, how does the interior of IU's defensive line handle Johnny Newton and the Illinois defensive front, which again, all keyed by Newton. If you can take care of him and effectively prevent him from wrecking havoc, then you can focus on those outside guys, which they like to bring with the extra attention that Newton gets to bring. Now, they don't have a ton of success getting to the passer. If you take Newton's sacks out of the equation, they are at just 9.5 sacks as a team. He's got 4.5, the rest of the whole team with 9.5. So I think there's an opportunity here for IU's IU's offensive line to have another solid day and give Brendan Sorsby a chance to make some plays. And Sorsby's mobility is going to be a key here. He's not a statue back there. He can move, and I think he almost makes plays a little better when Indiana's able to move the pocket. I felt that they were successful with that, moving the pocket, not necessarily having him just run around and make plays, but designed to move the pocket one way or another, with the action flowing to that side of the field, for him to be able to make a decision. Okay, I've got one read, I've got my second read, maybe a third read. If they're not there, I'm going to take care of the ball and take off to pick up what I can with my legs. And I think that has been a pretty good fit for Indiana's offense, to stay on schedule. And then the way that they've been able to run the ball, with the exception of that Wisconsin second half, doing a good enough job of staying on schedule on offense. But if you can't block Johnny Newton and he's able to get into the backfield at will, none of that's going to matter. And IU's going to be behind the schedule on offense, and they have not shown the ability to make up for that consistently. If this IU offense gets behind the chains, they're probably going to have to punt.
Yeah, and that's something that IU did really well in the first half against Wisconsin. You go back to that, I think they had 15 or so, especially in the first quarter, IU had, where's first downs? IU was 2 of 4 on third downs, 1 of 1 on first down. They had a whole bunch of first downs through that play. So, at least 7 first downs. First downs in the first half. Seven in the first quarter, 7 in the second quarter, 14 in the first half, and then just 6 first downs in the second half. And that's just that's what made IU's offense good in the first half, was you moved the ball, you chewed up clock, you held the ball for almost 21 minutes in the first half. You wish you could get more points. They left a bunch of points on the field with the missed touchdown that goes through McCulley's hands. That was a absolute rocket from Sorsby, and then the missed field goal. So you're looking at Maybe it's 21-7 instead of 17-7 and things like that. So there is room for improvement for the IU offense. But my matchup to watch is Indiana's receivers against Illinois' defensive backs. As you said, Illinois' defensive backs are kind of a weakness for them. But Indiana has question marks at receiver, too. Cam Camper was announced out for the season on Monday. He's been in and out of the lineup, trying to recover from the ACL tear from last year. Maybe he came back too quickly, but he had a procedure to clean that up and get right. So, and then Omar Cooper leaves the game against Wisconsin. He got rolled up on blocking. I think a Wisconsin player kind of rolled up on him there in the first half. He never returned. That would be a big loss. I thought Omar Cooper has been one of the better receivers, at least the probably the most dynamic receiver IU has had all season. But you get EJ Williams back in the lineup. You have DeKeese Carter, who's become more involved, and maybe you could throw Cam Perry and Jalen Lucas, who is, you know, he kind of looked better on Saturday, but he still doesn't look like himself in on the offensive side of the ball. But hopefully, if Cooper's back, you feel pretty good about that matchup. TJ, let's get the keys of the game. We kind of touched on them earlier. What's your first key to the game?
Illinois has not been very good at all taking care of the ball this season. They are -6 in turnover margin. That includes -4 in home games, which, you know, debatable whether or not that matters where the turnovers take place, but not good at all. -6 is going to place you down near the bottom. I think Illinois was 114th in turnover margin. Indiana 91st, so not great either. So neither team does a great job of taking care of the ball, but I feel like Indiana, since making the change to Brendan Sorsby full-time, has done a better job of taking care of the ball, and the defense finally broke through and recovered a fumble last week and added a second one for good measure. Winning the turnover battle against Wisconsin, a big reason why they're able to win that game. So I'm going to, you know, that turnover battle, always a key, and with a game that figures to be one that is not particularly high scoring, possessions could come at a premium. Points are going to come at a premium. I think that turnovers are going to be something definitely to keep an eye on if Indiana can force some mistakes from Illinois and capitalize on them with short fields. That would be a huge bonus.
Yeah, and with 9 pass breakups, maybe now Indiana's defensive backs are starting to get their hands on passes, and tip balls should be pick balls. You know, maybe you get an interception or two for good measure and win the turnover battle there. My key to the game, TJ, is limit mistakes. And you've seen what you've done when you've limited mistakes against Wisconsin, and you kind of limited some of the mistakes against – you didn't eliminate the mistakes against Penn State, but you limited them. And then in the halves, you know, second half of Louisville and things like that, when Indiana puts together good strings of football, they're pretty tough. And that's what needs to happen. You know, you're going on the road. We'll see how hostile environment is, but it's still a road game. And you gotta be able to catch punts, not muff them, keep the ball. You know, IU put the ball on the ground twice. Yeah, they recovered their own fumbles, but that's something that, you know, we'll flip the game on its head this week if that happens and Illinois recovers. There were no offensive penalties against IU, no special big special teams penalties and things like that. So, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to play smart, not safe, but smart football and limit those, you know, limit those mistakes. IU only had 2 penalties for 30 yards last week. Wisconsin had 8 for 78, and 3 of those were huge pass interference penalties. So maybe IU's putting it together at the right time. What's your second key to the game?
Second key is going to be Indiana consistently being able to stop Illinois' running game. I think if you can at least limit that and force Luke Altmyer into, again, third and medium or third and long situations, I like Indiana's chances. I think IU's been pretty good in those types of situations the past 2 weeks, both against Wisconsin and against Penn State. They've made opposing quarterbacks uncomfortable with pretty good secondary play, and they're doing a good job of getting pressure on the quarterback in obvious passing situations. So, you know, again, getting the offense for both teams, getting offenses off schedule is something that neither offense is going to be able to recover from very well. And we brought up Luke Altmyer's, you know, propensity to turn the ball over. That's a great way to do it. Forced him into third and long where he's forced to make a play, you could find yourself getting some interceptions. So Indiana on defense, stopping or limiting the run on first and second down and forcing those third and long situations.
Yeah, I'm going to go. All eyes got to be on Isaiah Williams. 17 targets last week. He's their go-to receiver. Best punt returner in the Big Ten right now, statistically. He's the guy when they're in trouble, they lean on. And you're going to have to put your best, you know, cover corner on him and maybe double team him and things like that. And just try to, you can't really take him out of the game. They're going to try and force him into the game, but limit the damage when he does get the ball. You know, maybe, you know, to the old WAP failure game where you have 18 catches for 82 yards instead of 10 catches for 130. You know, if you could take Isaiah Williams out of the offense, he's a special player. Then you make him one dimensional. So kind of the opposite of what you said. You know, you say make him one dimensional in the pass game. I'm going to go one dimensional. Let him try to run the ball and things like that. But you have to pay attention to Isaiah Williams. Final thoughts and then predictions, TJ.
Well, you mentioned kind of that postseason hope staying alive for another week. It does seem ridiculous that IU is still alive for a bowl game, but you look at what's closing, and it's Illinois, Michigan State, who not good, and then Purdue, who is 2-7. So there's hope here. There's an opportunity here, and I'm sure that Indiana is going to be, you know, pretty fired up all week at practice, knowing that they've given themselves a chance. It's a small chance, but it is a chance. Now, going on the road in the Big Ten, typically not something IU has any success doing, but I don't think anybody would describe Illinois as being a hostile place to play. It's still a road game, but you know, you're not going to a tremendous opponent here with some rabid fan base. So there's a chance for Indiana. They are 6-point underdogs as of today.
6.5
underdogs. So my prediction, and I'm choosing hope here. Don't know how much I actually believe it, but I do think Indiana has played their best two games of the season these past 2 weeks. I think that that's fair to say. They played very well against Penn State, made some critical mistakes, played well against Wisconsin, and avoided critical mistakes. So, you know, there's reasons for this optimism combined with, I don't think Illinois is good. This is not nearly the team that Illinois had last season. Major, major difference in their secondary in particular and on the offensive line. So I like Indiana going into this matchup to come out with a victory. I think it's going to be very close, low scoring. I'm going to go Indiana winning it 24-20, holding Illinois late, kind of similar to last week. I think IU gets out to a lead and then holds on with the late defensive stop to get the win.
Yeah. That's about the same as I was gonna say. I don't know if they'll be 45 total points in this. I haven't really dove into the weather all that much, but this screams like 21-17 or 20-17 or 17-14, and stuff yeah. like that. It's two offenses who have struggled to move the ball consistently. Yes, they do have playmakers on both sides, but the defense also has playmakers as well. I do think Indiana comes out with a win. They have been playing their best football of late. I think that this playoff mentality, however corny that people think it is or ridiculous, it has worked. This team has started to gel, and the veterans on this team could have easily have quit after the Rutgers loss, because a lot of people, including us, started with the hot seat talk. It's time to blow it up. It's over. And it felt like that at that time. But this team has rallied. They've come together. The leaders on this team, it shows you the culture of this team. And I know a lot of people poo-poo the LEO stuff, but you know what? It has worked, and things like that. So you saw it last year when they went to Michigan State and pulled off a win there. Dexter Williams gets hurt. You don't know what happens against Purdue, but you know, this late season resurgence, you know, you hoped you didn't need it, but it looks like it's back for IU, and you know, you hope that your margin for error is gone. So it's time to eliminate the errors. I think Indiana wins this 120-17 over Illinois.
Yeah, I don't blame anybody out there listening for thinking we are insane. For calling
people called us insane that you know, Indiana would score 20 wins, points but against Wisconsin, and guess what? They scored 20 points against Wisconsin, TJ. I bookmarked and photoshopped that comment. We were true homers and optimists that they would score 20 points against Wisconsin. They scored 20 right on the nose. And probably should have scored more.
That's right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's something that, you know, leaving those points on the board, obviously that will bite you if you continue to do that. But Indiana did not beat themselves. They did Correct. Not beat themselves, and Wisconsin couldn't do it. I think you can say the same thing about Illinois.
Yep.
If you go there, play a clean game, don't beat yourself, and make some key plays in those critical situations, don't beat yourself. I don't think Illinois will either. You know, Illinois is not going to necessarily, you wouldn't expect, all of a sudden turn into, you know, this explosive play offensive juggernaut. They are very, very similar to Indiana. Very similar. They've got some key weaknesses. They've got some good athletes and some good strengths. They beat themselves. Then sometimes they make enough plays to win. The difference between the two teams, Illinois plays in the West.
Yep. Yeah, that's the difference. It's kind of ridiculous, yep. but it's the difference.
Yep.
And you've
and
seen
Illinois
it.
Will be mad about that. That's fine. I'm not comparing the programs like historically, but right now, I really do think that is the primary difference between the two programs here the past couple seasons.
Yeah, Illinois played in the West. Same with Purdue. Same with Nebraska, Minnesota. Heck,
yeah,
Iowa's scoring what 8 points a game, and they're leading the West. Yeah, they're
at least Iowa has an elite. Like at least Iowa has something that is elite. Like that defense is legitimately really good. It is.
Yes.
Now, is it aided by getting to play all the Big Ten West offenses? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It definitely is. It definitely is. But still, that is a really good a really good defense. Mm-hmm. So at least Iowa has that. Illinois does not. Like I think that their defense is decent and has one elite difference making player.
Yep.
But
and
as
you
a
just
whole
have
unit,
to...
they're just fine. They're just
yeah.
fine.
Yep, and you
and
just
if
have
they were
to
in the East, their numbers would look just like IU's.
Yep, and you just have to make sure that that elite player doesn't take over the game, which he is very capable of doing. Indiana's got to
for sure.
Yeah, Indiana's got to watch out for that. So Indiana and Illinois kick off at 12 p.m. Eastern time. If you're heading to the game, it'll be an 11 a.m. local kick with the time change. It'll be on Big Ten Network, and you can follow us at Hoosier_Huddle. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your pregame lead-up articles. Injury report should come out around 10 o'clock on Saturday. We'll have that posted for you as well. Some big injuries to look out for on both sides, for both teams on this one on Saturday. And then you know, just some other news and notes, TJ. The Michigan State kick time will be announced on Sunday, so keep your eyes out for that. I predict if IU wins, it'll be a 3:30 game. If IU loses, it'll be whatever earliest time slot on Big Ten alternate channel 9 will be.
Yep. We appreciate everybody listening, and I hope we have another fun victory podcast next week. That is something we don't get to do as near as much as we'd like to, and it's always great when we get to. So hopefully the hope stays alive for another week.
Yep, playoff mentality. This is playoff game number 2 in a 4-game season, and IU's looking to go 2-2. So thanks for listening. You can download the podcast on Apple Podcasts or whatever you get your podcast at. And we'll be back next week to talk about Illinois-Indiana game, as well as previewing the old brass platoon matchup. Thank you. Enjoy IU basketball tonight, and we'll see you again next week.